Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everybody jump!
Ah, yes, 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 indeed. It's Friday. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way, AB with your update, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We go 3 to 6 Pacific right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206 app as well. Taz, good Friday, man.
Good Friday. Happy Friday, the Moose.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, it's the end of the work week, as we say here on Taz and the Moose. And it's soggy and wet here in the Northeast, especially in New York, New York tri-state area. And it was, last night was something else.
A lot of rain last night and into the morning. And then you get the Giants' performance out at MetLife Stadium against the Philadelphia Eagles, as now the Giants are a 1-5 football team. The Philadelphia Eagles improved themselves to a 3-3 team through 6 weeks of this NFL regular season with the, you know, ho-hum 34-13 victory over Big Blue last night, where a lot of talking points coming out of it from a Giant perspective. You know, Beckham leaving the field early, 2 seconds left to go in the first half to go get himself an IV. The frustration level with the offensive line, as Eli Manning was sacked on 4 occasions, on pace to get sacked 53 times this year. Which is remarkable when you think about it. Giant defense, inability to make a play, especially when Carson Wentz was under duress. And the Eagles' defensive line was great last night. Wentz played well. Alshon Jeffrey played well. You had guys falling down the defensive secondary, which left Nelson Aguilar wide open, late second quarter that led to yet another Eagle touchdown. It was an interesting evening. I come away with it, Taz. My big aspect is I think Philadelphia is starting to find themselves. I think they're starting to resemble the team that we saw a year ago. Defensive line, certainly impressive. I know the Giants' offensive line stinks, but the defensive line played well. Alshon Jeffrey looks healthy. He caught 2 touchdowns last night. Wentz looked a lot better, a little less rusty. And they're starting to find their rhythm as they get themselves to the 500 mark this year.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a couple of days ago, and I think I don't think it was me, it was you, because I think you mentioned that you felt like the Eagles were starting to get themselves together. And you definitely could see last night that you're right on that, and they definitely did that. They got their sea legs under for sure. It was a beating, and this game was never even, you know, the first half. They set the tone the first quarter, actually, the Eagles. I mean, it was just... Eli Manning just looked... First off, I was way off. I thought the Giants were going to win this game. I think I picked the Giants, I think. Yes, I think I did, and I was wrong. I was right that Barkley would have a big game, but a lot of it was catches out of the backfield, not just running the ball, not really running the ball. But regardless, he had a really big night, the kid. He's a stud. But I got to tell you, you're on point about the Eagles. They look like they're starting to rock and roll. They might be one of the better 3-3 teams probably in the league right now. Wentz looked good. You're playing in a tough spot. You're playing in Giant Stadium. You're on the road. It didn't matter. They came up to Giant Stadium from down in Philly and beat the dog you know what out of the Giants. And Eli Manning, bro, at times, Moose, he looked like a confused backup quarterback.
I think he's just skittish. I mean,
on the sideline. Like, it's just, no one was around him a lot of the game. You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like he was just lost.
Yeah, you know, I don't really, me personally, I don't really take a look all that much in terms of, you know, Eli on the sideline and who he's hanging around with, or if he's, with anybody on the football. I mean, Taz, I think it's a case of he's gotten hit a lot since 2013.
Stinks, like
the Giants have been the worst rush offense in the National Football League for the last 5 years. And now Saquon Barkley is going to change that this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But Eli's gotten hit a lot. And I mentioned before, he's on pace to get sacked 53 times. So even when the offensive line up front does their job, Eli can't wait to get rid of the football.
That's everything, I mean, everything's short. The dump-off drops.
All the dump-off passes dunk, to you know? Where you see Pat Shurmur say, screaming into his headset, if you read it, read his lips when the Giants have the football, he's talking about throw the football after he dumped it off to Latimer into the flat. You know, they want to take shots down the football field. Phil Simms says it best each and every week, or has before in the past. If you're not pushing the ball down the field in today's day and age in the NFL, you're doing your team a great disservice, and the Giants don't push the football down the football field a lot.
Not at all.
Over the course of a game. So I agree with you. Eli looked terrible, but I also think, Taz, I think if you protected Eli Manning, I think he could still make a lot of the throws that he used to make. I don't think he trusts the offensive line in any way, shape, or form up front. And I think the Giants over the last number of years have done a great disservice to number 10 of building that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, they gave it a little shot, bringing in Solder, bringing in the kid from, Hernandez from, where do you go, UTEP, I think. Yeah, bringing him in, he's a pretty good left guard, but not looking good right now in the NFL. He was real good in college. They made some moves, and they got rid of Flowers, as we know. And he met with the Jaguars yesterday, their former first-round pick. Look, man, I agree. When a quarterback is, got pressure on him, of course, it's going to be very difficult for him to make deep throws if you don't have the time, or to make decisions, or look, check down on a receiver and go through his...
He got hit 13 times last night on record. If you look back at the game film, he might have got hit even more. He might have got hit 20 times. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, Eli Manning might have got on 43, 44 pass attempts. Might have got hit in upwards of 20 times in the night. I mean, that's
a lot. That's it's tough for anybody. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
That's a beating when you think about it.
And I can't remember exactly which plays, but there was a couple that no one was near him, and he just threw like short passes, and he missed his receiver. He got mad at his receivers, him. You don't really get mad Eli. No, he's not like a combustible guy on the field, but he just. Maybe he's gun shy to the point you make.
And I didn't put it that way, but I think that's a great way to term it, Taz. Don't you think it's a case of where he's tired of getting hit? He's not going to say it, but he doesn't trust the guys up front, so he's looking to get rid of.
That's the key word. You're right.
He's looking to get rid of the football as quickly as he possibly can.
Yeah, it's tough.
Because he doesn't believe any guy up front is going to be able to hold up to protection. If he did, maybe he'd step. And there's no escapability. He's got little to no foot speed. He's not a great overall athlete if you compare him to, say, Aaron Rodgers or Baker
Pat
Mayfield
Mahomes.
Or
He's
Pat Mahomes
yeah.
or Russell Wilson. Guys that could use their legs to escape the pocket, even step up into the pocket. There's not that inherent trust. I'm not telling you that he's great right now, but. Their overarching issue for the Giants is it's just a putrid football team. And there's a lot of – you can blame Eli, as we've discussed. You can talk about the offensive line, which has been a consistent theme now for the last 2 years. And then you can look at the defense. Olivier Vernon back, number 54, was back last night for the Giants. And he, as he even admitted after the game, Taz, he didn't make enough plays. And the Giants secondary – when Carson Wentz was able to lengthen out a play, did not hold up in coverage.
The defense.
Guys were running wide open free.
You're right, though. It was like crazy. The defense for the Giants, it's just like there was no intensity, no sense of urgency, like at all.
You make a great point. You know what play that hit me on last night, Taz? Remember, Wentz was going to drop back in the first quarter. His arm got hit.
Yeah.
As he was throwing the football.
Who hit a defensive end?
Got hit. Ball fluttered up in the air. It looked like, I believe, Landon Collins was going to intercept
it. And he could have.
But he was waiting for the ball to come
to him.
Instead of going to the ball. And I believe it was Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey cut in front of him to catch the football.
That can't happen.
You got to attack the ball.
Bro,
the ball's up in the air. You
got
to attack the ball. He's waiting to catch it like there's nobody else. And that gives credit to the Eagles wide receiver for attacking the football.
That's a 50-50 ball.
Yeah.
That's a 50-50 ball. That's in the air. It's flopping around. It's like a punt. And everybody's a low punt to exaggerate. And you got to go to the ball on that. And you got to land in college. This guy, stud at Alabama.
Great player. I was stunned by that.
I know. I was too. And there were several little things like that, man. I don't know what it is. They're not playing inspired at all. And now, what are they, 1-5, right?
They're a 1-5 team.
So now at 1-5, it's like, God. And then if the Jets win Sunday in this town here, oh, It's going to be even worse for the Giants and their fans.
Well, right. It will be because it's going to be, and Barkley was great, but
he's the man. I feel bad he's on that team.
Well, I feel bad that he's not getting the love that he should because it's almost like the fan base is angry that they didn't draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. It's not Saquon Barkley's fault that the Giants drafted him second overall. He's an amazing running back. What he is able to do, he's like a modern day, juked up Barry Sanders.
Yeah, he is.
That's what he is.
Troy Aikman referenced Earl Campbell last night during a broadcast, a great running back legend years ago.
Not as powerful as Campbell.
No, Campbell was a super powerful. He had those big quads.
Yeah, he would basically but Campbell's run over quads you like even a bigger. Mack truck.
He was an animal.
Run over you like a Mack truck.
Different type of. I know what Aikman meant because of that thick,
I didn't like that
body.
Comparison.
You didn't,
yeah, but,
you
no.
know, I didn't mind it, but you're right.
Because of the running style. I'm not talking about him as an athlete or his body or his quads.
I think
I'm
that's what he meant, though.
Style.
His power, his lower body. But. Definitely, Barkley's more explosive than Campbell was. You know, as far as speed, breakout speed, juking ability, he is just spectacular.
He's a spectacular running back.
Really,
but Taz, he's almost getting knocked, unfortunately, because he's not a quarterback.
Yeah, it's unfair to him.
It is unfair to him that. And I didn't mind the Giants drafting Saquon Barkley number two overall. If you're not in love with a quarterback, and they clearly felt that Eli Manning had a lot more game left in him than he showed this year. The offensive line, they didn't do a good enough job of building up that offensive line. I mean, Saquon Barkley last night did his job. He had 130 yards rushing. He had 90 yards receiving. He had 220 yards of total offense from the line of scrimmage. What can you ask more of a running back
in a
particular game? You can't ask him to do any more. What do you want him to throw the ball, kick? I mean, how much more do you want Saquon Barkley to do in the course of a game? But he is, I think Giant fans appreciate him, but they say, you know, what is it? What is that going to do for us? We're 1-5.
Right. Well,
we had an opportunity to get our future franchise quarterback and Gettleman and Shurmur, but specifically Gettleman decided to say thanks but no thanks.
Yeah, and the thing is, there was one play earlier, maybe the second quarter, if I remember correctly. It was a running play where they pulled the left guard. And there was actually some really good blocking by the Giants lineman and tight end, and when Barkley got the ball. And he was gone. I mean, if he gets a little daylight or a little blocking, he's gone. So if they could, in the future, I mean, it's almost like this Giants season is basically over right now, unfortunately for them. But in the future, grab some O linemen and incorporate in the right way in their system and work that system. You know, the other thing too, man. You know, now you're going to start hearing about the kid behind Eli, about Kyle Aletta, the rookie out of Richmond. You know, now. You know, some would say, well, wait, you're playing at Richmond. You're playing schools like Towson. You're playing Albany. You know, you're losing to Stony Brook. Yeah, those are the squads that you know, if you're at Richmond, you're playing. Okay, it's good, solid Division I. It's not top D1. But, you know, this kid Kyle Aletta, he has a lot of people in the football realm, in the NFL realm, feel he's legitimate. He's real good. Now, he's going to give you some stuff that Eli can't give you. He's athletic. He can move his feet. He's inexperienced. And now you got an inexperienced quarterback. If you put him in there with a stinky offensive line, it's usually not a good mix. But you know, who knows? Maybe they're going to get him some reps. I think you might see him sooner rather than later, Laletta.
If they keep on losing, yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where the Giants feel Laletta is in his development in terms of playing in the National Football League. If they feel like he's ready to play, I wouldn't roll him out there if. Not physically, but if they do not feel he's in a position to succeed. I don't know if I need to see him out there. And the Giants like him. I mean, Shurmur was open and honest when they drafted him and said, you know, doesn't have all the great physical tools. Arm strength is not necessarily there, but he's a good athlete, can scramble, can move his feet, impressed in the Senior Bowl. So there are things to like about Kyle Aletta. But I don't know if the Giants are going to all of a sudden say in a division where the leader, I mean, the Eagles are 3-3. The Washington Redskins are what, a 2-2 football team. I don't know if the Giants are going to all of a sudden turn the page this quickly. I mean, you might see him in the second half of the season.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if you're going to see him right now.
You can't keep Eli out there to look the way he looked. Super Bowl champion.
What about throwing a rookie guy behind the offensive line that can't block?
That's what I was just saying. But the thing is, now you could utilize Barkley, run the ball even a little more, get him under center, or just run shotgun plays and run the ball a little more and utilize Laletta's athleticism. I saw him play once last year, Kyle Laletta, for Richmond. I saw him play against Colgate. Okay, and he's a very good quarterback. I think he's very good. Now, again, it's against Colgate. I understand it. You're not playing against Georgia. I know that. But I'm just saying, he knows what he's doing. He's pretty good. I think he can develop.
I'm not saying he can't develop. I don't know if the Giants, if they're ready to turn the page anytime soon. That's the only point with Laletta. But you might see him sooner rather than later if they just keep on racking up L after L after L. And see exactly what they have, because the consecutive start streak, as we know, was ended last year by McAdoo with Geno Smith in at quarterback for the Giants. Let's listen to Eli Manning following the loss last night for Big Blue.
Early on, hit a couple big plays and things, just couldn't finish it. You know, got into the red zone, couldn't get touchdowns, so that hurt us. Just got down. You know, kind of went to hurry up there in the fourth quarter. Just got down too much.
Well, here's their head coach, Pat Shurmur. Well, it's a loss. They lose by 21, but he was satisfied with the team's effort.
We got beat by a good team. We didn't score enough points. They scored way more than us. Nothing wrong with the effort. They fought hard all the way to the end.
I don't know.
I got to tell you.
That's a tough statement from Shurmur. I don't know what's more troubling, the fact that the Giants lose by 21 or the fact that Pat Shurmur thought it was great effort.
Yeah, and his team's effort, his defense's effort was questioned, and he got defensive, but no pun intended. But, yeah, I agree with you. He might be a little delusional, or he might be a little bit – and it's tough. He's a new head coach in a market like New York. And the more they lose, the worse it's going to get for him in these press conferences. And sometimes he gets a little pissed.
He does.
A little bit, we've heard of him, you know?
Yeah, he gets a little bit red-faced.
Got to kind of chill a little bit, you know?
I think you got to be a little stronger. I know you don't want to lose your team. I think the message has got to be a little bit stronger if you're Pat Shurmur following that performance, following yet another loss for the Giants. And then you got to deal with the distraction of Odell Beckham Jr., who... You know, Taz, I've defended. I really have.
I
believe the fact that he went into the locker room to go get an IV with 2 seconds left on the game clock and jump out there a little bit early. Shurmur reiterated that, and then you could sense the frustration that they have to do a better job as a team to make sure that he is hydrated. But that's the reason why he went back there. Take that for what it is. I don't know if I need to watch Odell Beckham Jr. on the sideline ranting and raving and banging his head up against the fan on the sideline.
That Barkley, the rookie's got to calm him down.
Yeah, I don't.
How's that?
I mean, Taz, it gets to a point here where even as big of a Beckham fan as I am, you start to grow tired of the act.
It's
annoying
because you got to perform. First of all, get him off punt return. He should not be returning punts.
He's not that good.
He's not. The guy can catch a ball with his eyes closed backwards, but he can't catch a punt in his belly.
He's not Deion Sanders.
No, he should not be taking punts. He stinks.
Well, they're trying to do something and infuse a little bit of life into special teams.
Well, that doesn't work.
Okay.
I don't
necessarily disagree with that, but I think the Giants are trying to do anything and everything to instill a little life.
I have an idea. Keep him on the field.
What about the actions on the sideline?
Well, it's to your point. It's like,
do you think people make too much of it? Do you think it's a case of the cameras following Beckham and there are other guys on the sideline that might, have a little bit of a, bombastic attitude, might show a little bit of their frustration, but the cameras don't catch it because they're not number 13.
Yeah,
they're not Odell Beckham
Jr.
But last week, Shepard. Right. Did everyone make a big deal about Shepard going crazy
and
on the water
cooler? Beckham had to calm him down. Right.
Yes. Did anyone go crazy? No, nobody did.
Nobody went crazy. No.
Do we make a big deal?
I think we mentioned it. We didn't go
we mentioned it, but we didn't go crazy.
There was no hot takes.
No, there was no hot cheese. Nothing of that nature. But do we go crazy because it's just Beckham? Or do you think the criticism of Beckham is deserved?
Both. On the fence, Jones, I am on this.
Oh, that's, you can't do
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Oh,
I think lame. It's both. No,
you can't,
really.
You can't go both.
It's both. All right. I think because it's Beckham. How about that? I will be on the fence. All right? I mean, you're right. I should
both.
Be on the fence.
What?
You're like, what?
855-212.
Both. Good answer. That's a hot take. No opinion at all.
They pay me big money.
They pay me big
for
money.
No
for
opinion, opinion whatsoever.
What
that would be a segment. No
that would,
opinion.
That actually would be. Oh, no opinions on the fence, Jones.
The segment is like, please help me out now.
No more segments. Doug hates me.
I can't go to Doug anymore.
We did all the Giants in the spotlight following the Thursday night action. To the victor go the spoils, Taz. We can't turn the turn a blind eye to what the Philadelphia Eagles did last night. We'll get into the Eagles' performance. Wentz looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey, an interesting quote after the game, which I retweeted. We'll
wow.
Get in, yes, I did.
Whoa!
Oh. We'll get into the Eagles after the 21-point Thursday night football victory. We'll do that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's just a great Friday tune to get yourself rolling, the Moose. Get
what
ready for the club
it?
Scene. This is the Schneebitz Fernum. I don't know the name of this song, but it's very bougie. It's good for the club.
It is good for the club.
You know what this is? We listen. I go to a fondue place,
yeah.
Not far from my place, right on the water. I have a little place there. And I go to get hot fondue on Friday nights. And I listen to, they play this type of music there.
Nice.
You ever have fondue?
No.
Dipping of cheese?
I know what it is. No, I've never
hot
gone
cheese.
To
cheese. That's the real hot cheese.
That is real hot cheese, yeah. No, I've never gone to a fondue place.
Yeah.
Good, fun. I, you I and your wife have a good time?
Oh, who said I went with my wife?
You're happily married.
Good. I know.
Solo.
I go by myself. No, because she don't like the fondue. So what happens is like I'll go there and maybe I'll bring her with some of her family members, drop them off at a coffee shop, and I'll go into the fondue place.
Oh, very nice.
Hang out with some of my buddies, smoke a cigar
like
at the bar.
A hell of a night.
Friday night. Then
very
pick her
nice.
Up at the coffee
That's
shop.
That's weirder than me bowling alone.
Yeah, it is.
That is actually.
That is weird.
Yeah, but you go bowling alone on Friday nights, Mike, and you have Leon, your cat, in the bowling bag watching.
I understand. You're still weirder.
That is weird. I had a fondue place, smoking a cigar with my buddy Jake at the bar.
The stunning thing is, I'm surprised Taz knew Mike's cat's name.
Of course. Why wouldn't I? What am I, an imbecile? Of course
no,
I do.
I'm
a genius. I know the guy's name was in the room, too. Our update man, because AB's not here. And I know this guy's name.
Yes.
Brad
Heller.
This is the Brad Heller.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not to be confused with Ian or Connor or Johnny. Or Joey Heller.
Feller.
What?
Feller.
Yes.
I did call you Feller one time. Yeah.
Connor Feller?
Connor Feller.
Connor Heller.
Heller.
Never forget that.
A little sophistication.
There you go. Take
Jimbo
away,
Heller.
Go ahead, all right, buddy. Guys. The defending Super Bowl champs, well, they got back on track last night.
Barkley in the backfield. Back goes Manning, goes over the middle, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! And coming around the left sideline across the 15 is Camus Grugier-Hill. He picked it off.
Merrill Reese had the call, Eagles radio. That was the second play from scrimmage, led to the first of three touchdown passes for Carson Wentz. The Eagles ripped the Giants on the road, 34-13, to get to 3-3. Here's head coach Doug Peterson.
It's obvious when you take care of the ball and you don't have too many penalties that are killing you in the red zone, and your ability to make some yards on first down and put you into some second and short situations or second manageable situations, and then your third downs are a little more manageable after that.
The defense had that interception, also sacked Eli Manning four times. Rookie Saquon Barkley led the Giants 229 total yards, including a 50-yard touchdown run, but they are now 1-5.
We're beating ourselves. We're missing a lot of opportunities. We're playing behind the sticks, you know, getting a lot of penalties, holding calls, this call, that call. You know, it's not pointing fingers at anyone or playing a blame game. It's just offense as a whole.
The Giants reportedly fined Odell Beckham Jr. for those critical comments in an ESPN interview last week. Beckham left the field before the first half ended.
Should have fined Lil Wayne for playing. That was horrible.
Beckham said he was dehydrated, had to get an IV, cramping up, and he also headbutted a cooling fan at one point during the game as well, showing his frustration. Hockey, Austin Matthews continues his amazing start for Toronto.
Left for Riley, near side Matthews, shooting, scores! I can't get it out fast enough.
What?
I can't get it out when the puck gets on his stick.
Oh.
It's in the net before I can say shoots.
Joe Bowen, Maple Leafs Radio.
That was taking
unique.
A high road.
Unique.
I'm taking high road on the whole thing.
Two goals for Austin Matthews.
High road on what?
On that commentary we just heard from the announcer.
He couldn't get his name out before he scores. Numbers 8 and 9 for Austin Matthews. He's got 9 goals in 5 games. The Leafs beat the Red Wings 5-3. The Golden Knights are 1-4 to start the season. Oh, they lost to the Penguins 4-2.
That's my squad, Ian. Brad.
Ian,
that's
Connor,
my squad.
That's your hockey.
Heller.
Team.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be off them soon enough.
It's coming.
Yeah.
You'll all of a sudden be a Leaf fan.
Oh, Maple Leafs. I love blue. Like the Dodgers, my new team.
Yeah. There you go,
your
right.
New team.
Yes. The Vegas Golden Knights. Don't even buy a jersey.
The team that beat Vegas.
Like, nice to have known you.
In the Cup Final,
lose
the Capitals.
A couple more, that'll be it.
The Capitals smoked the Devils in New Jersey last night, 6-0. Wild beat the Blackhawks in overtime, 4-3. Predators over the Jets, 3-0. Speaking of the Dodgers, they open up with the Brewers. Game one of the NLCS tonight in Milwaukee. The ALCS starts tomorrow at Fenway, the Astros and the Red Sox. College football, Texas Tech won at TCU, 17-14. The Horned Frogs, they were number 16 in the preseason, but they're 3-3 now, guys.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. We spent a lot of time talking about the Giants in the opening segment. Father, 21-point loss last night at home, MetLife Stadium, with rain falling down at certain points of the game to the Philadelphia Eagles in an NFC East matchup in two big rivals, two cities that sports-wise can't stand one another.
Yeah.
From an Eagle perspective, Taz, it looked a lot better. And Eagles were a better football team than their 2-3 record would lead you to believe. They've been in every game. Mm. They haven't had really a game in which they got their doors blown off. You know, they lost in overtime down in Tennessee. They had the Titans in that overtime convert on 3 straight fourth downs in order to continue their what ended up being their game-winning drive. They lost a close one to Tampa. They lost a close one, you know, at home last week to the Minnesota Vikings, where they rallied in the second half. The concern with them is, you know, with the injuries, Jay Ajayi now done for the year, torn ACL, and the rust that was pretty tangible on their quarterback in Carson Wentz coming back from the torn ACL surgery from a year ago. When were they going to start to find their rhythm? And I thought last night with Jeffrey starting to look like the Alshon Jeffrey that we've all seen and watched, you know, whether it be Chicago or now Philadelphia. He looked a lot better last night.
Run game
was great.
Smallwood and Clement.
Wentz looked a lot better offensively.
Yeah.
And the defense got after Eli Manning, took advantage of what is a pretty bad offensive line. So, Taz, I thought the Eagles going into the last night's game, and they were a slight 1.5-point favorite when that game kicked off. I thought the Eagles were better than 2-3 football team, and I thought last night they showed you for all the reasons I just mentioned as to why that is the case.
Absolutely.
They are now a 500 team.
Yeah, no argument. I mean, and this is a strong. When I say strong, I don't mean they beat a strong team. It's a conference win, so that's a strong win. It's an NFC East victory, so that's a big deal right there in itself. And it's also a statement on the only game in town on Thursday night. It's just like a, you know, if you're the Sunday night game, right, or the Monday night, you know, it's the only game in town. There's all the games on, so the spotlight's on. There was no baseball on.
Nope.
You know, so it's like you're watching this football game, and you're getting to see the Super Bowl champs. Like, oh, all right, they just beat up on the Giants in the Giants' house. So it's kind of a nice statement win, and that you know, builds that confidence. And next you know, they're going to have to deal with the Panthers, which you never know with the Panthers.
Well, you never know. You're right about that. You do never know in terms of a Philadelphia perspective, but all they could do is take it one game at a time.
Absolutely.
Here is their head coach, Peterson, talking about his quarterback's performance.
He did a nice job, you know, running the offense, going where he needed to go with football, making some good decisions at the line of scrimmage, you know, and really put a full game together. And it was really the guys around him, too, stepping up.
Yeah, and here's Wentz saying it was a good division win.
It's a big win for us. You know, NFC East, finally get that conference going. Short week like it was. Cleaned up a handful of mistakes. Obviously, we weren't perfect tonight, but come out early in the first quarter, get points on the board that first drive right away. That stuff was huge.
Now, did he hear the Alshon Jeffrey? Now, he didn't tweet it out.
I saw your tweet, your retweet, which was very – well, I'll let you handle this.
Well, Alshon Jeffrey said his message of confidence to his teammates was this. He said, I just always tell them, ain't nobody blanking with us.
Simple. I love it. It's awesome. Very simple. Right to the point.
That is a great message.
That's a motivator. Less is more.
Jeffrey, 6'5", walks in. Ain't nobody blanking with us.
He's the real deal, man. He looked good last night. He looked good, man.
The only way that would sound better, if Zach Martin read it.
Oh. Mike, can you get...
We should have Zach read that.
We should
bleep it out.
Mike's already writing it down.
That would be fantastic. We got to have him do that. By the way, speaking of Zach, this morning he was all over you.
Yeah, I know the shirt.
He wants a shirt because he saw your Taz and the Moose shirt.
Yeah, my T-shirt.
You're wearing it this morning.
Yes, sir.
Nice job by you sporting it.
That's what I do.
And he said he'd like a double XL.
Yeah.
And then
I said, I'll talk to the people.
I walk in after getting my coffee. You said, Moose, Zach wants a shirt. We got to get our team up. And I just zoned out.
You tried to drag me in. And it just
to your conversation.
And I tried twice.
You said the bait. And I did not take it.
I never saw you locked in so much on moving a cup of coffee 4 inches and taking your car keys, putting them in your backpack. You were zoned in.
I was like, man, you did not want to engage. Zach. I was like, it's a little early here.
Ouch.
Zach, we'll get you a shirt.
Well, Zach was bragging a little bit about the commando line, Mike?
He was
bragging that got a lot of run on social media, which I didn't see it anywhere.
Well, people loved it.
That's what he said. I don't know what people
enjoyed it. Hashtag we over.
Maybe guys in the newsroom?
Maybe they did. I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know. But
he did.
Taz is not making that up. He did say that. He did say on social media it got tremendous burn.
I looked around. I looked at Moose, and Moose just walked away. I was like,
really? That got tremendous burn?
Dirty.
I got to look that up.
Yeah, he wants a shirt, Taz and Moose T-shirt. So I don't know if he's going to get one. And then he wants video of him doing reads, doing the headlines for us, the threes. And he wants that to be on our social media. I'm like, dude, we don't even. He's making these demands.
After you tried to get me in the conversation, then you called Mikey B over, who's like, thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, no, Mikey,
and Mikey
B is just,
like, he's
yeah.
like, Zach is like, we should record this on video.
And nipples like, get hard.
Mikey B is like, what? He's like, you should record me recording the
That's
three.
That's what he said with the T-shirt
and
on.
And then with the T-shirt on, it'd be great promotion, and we could post it to social media. And Mikey B's like, what?
The whole thing is Mike's fault. You don't know what happened.
Guys, we're leading with the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a coffee.
Trash. Second of the morning.
He was walking by, minding his business, Zach. I was minding my business.
In with his tea bag. He's like, oh, my God.
Watch that. You were minding your business, and then all of a sudden, Mike goes, hey, Zach, what was the thing you engaged in? I can't remember what the heck it was.
Mike was just trying to be funny
and just like engaged. I said, oh. Here we go. And that was it. Off to the races. And then it was me and Zach in a convo.
Yeah.
With him wanting one of the T-shirts I'm wearing that nobody else here wears except me. So that's another story.
It's true.
Lack
855-212-4227.
That's
the number to go.
I wore a shirt. How many times you wore a shirt? Mikey's keeping count. You know how many times Mike and Pete wore a shirt?
I have no idea.
Same amount as you.
Whoa.
Uno.
Okay.
How many times I wore it?
Twice?
Good, Mike.
Twice.
That's right.
Great.
That's double more than you guys.
Fantastic.
Ah, good story. Because I got attacked because you guys are wearing it before. I was never wearing it. Like, you never wear your shirt.
Well, we wore it first.
I got yelled at.
First man is more impressive than the fact that you've worn it twice. I'd ask you to wear it.
That's true.
Well, so please.
On the radio,
go pound, Sam. All right? Honestly. It's a Friday morning. I don't need this nonsense.
Saying, wear the shirt.
I have worn the shirt.
You probably gave all your shirts away.
I did not.
We didn't give our boss one of these shirts. Mark Chernoff. We should have gave him a shirt.
He's not going to wear it.
You don't think he'd wear it?
He's got no shirt.
You know, he would wear his Boomer and Geo shirt?
Bisseglia, he'd wear the Boomer and Geo. He went to Bisseglia, asked him to record the three. He's like, nah, I don't do that. Then last week, Boomer and Geo are like taping him up with tinfoil.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yes.
Now he's doing bits.
Yeah, that's true.
That's an outrage.
That happened last Friday. Oh, yeah, you were out on vacation.
Oh, sorry.
We got college picks.
You might not see me much in the
month. Home dogs.
Tinfoil, bro. Really?
Right. Plus, minus.
Wow.
Who you got? this college football weekend. Yes, they're coming your way next. It's on that rundown.
I got it, bro. I got my pick set. I got to let you know who I'm picking. Oh, we're just going to do it organic on the air, live Joe's.
No, you can tell me who you're going to pick.
I got some doozies.
Are you going Colonial?
No. The CAA conference. Colonial.
Taz Moose, CBS good. Sports Radio.
All the latest injuries, updates, and more. Eye on Fantasy Football. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question.
Yeah.
Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day.
So nice on a football Friday here on Taz and the Moose. And we give you that old NFL feel with the NFL film, Jones music. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, as we transition to college picks.
That's okay. Still football-esque. You know, but we're going to do the college picks
right now.
We're going to do the college picks right now. Fire it up. You would agree
it's not the right theme.
Theme for what? But I don't want to attack the board operator.
It's not the right
because he gets very sensitive when I say something negative. When you say something, the Bulls. So I can't say nothing.
Well, I choose my spots. You decide to go to the whip on a daily basis. See, there are big problems and little problems. You have to put them in separate columns.
But you have to take care of
the little windmill whip. You're like,
you like using it?
Shut up, Mike. Right. Jabroni.
Right. If we were at the track, Taz would be suspended.
I would. I'd be using a billy club. Not a whip.
Right. Time for some college.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
Hold on. You know who's
It's now time for the Taz and Moose college football picks. The three picks you need to know.
Oklahoma. I was going to say Texas.
You know how I know it's Oklahoma? Because all the years in WWE, that was JR's entrance music.
Oh, there you go.
And
Sooner.
I used to hear it all the time at all the shows.
Well, I can understand why you know it offhand.
Every week I heard, this was dark, not on TV, so you'd hear it.
Right, when they announced
the announcers come out. Yeah.
I got you.
Unbelievable. So that's how I know.
That's cool. That's very cool. Mikey B, what's our record so far this year? What do we got?
Moose, you're 11-7. You went 1-2 last week. Taz, you're 7-10-1.
You hear that?
1-1-1 last week.
Yeah, there you go. Baby.
All right.
Making a comeback.
Very nice.
Who's an all cool Jason? Don't call it a comeback.
Yes, I've been here for years. 1-1-1. Well, I was 1-2 last week. Taz, take it away. Pick one.
Oh, wow. On the spot, Jones. All right, no problem. The way you did that, it was like, boom, you go, Taz. All right, we're going to go 3:30 p.m. Take two. Saturday, 3:30 p.m., we're going to go a little Georgia versus LSU. Georgia goes to Death Valley to play the Tigers. Georgia ranked 2. LSU ranked 13, which is a great number. Home dog city. LSU is home dog. Georgia's given 7.5. I'm going with the dogs in this one, my friend. I feel Georgia wins the game by at least 14 points. It'll be good. It's tough to go to Death Valley to play LSU. I know that. You know that. Kirby Smart is just that. He's smart. Georgia Bulldogs, arguably the best team in the country, right there with Alabama, obviously. I got to go with Georgia, and I think they're going to win by 14. Look at that. I'm giving you numbers. I'm giving you everything.
All right, so you like Georgia laying the 7. Pick one for you. I'm going to go a game that also starts at 3:30. We're going to go out to Outzen Stadium, Eugene, Oregon. Ducks and Huskies, two top 17 teams this season so far. Oregon 4-1 on the season. Washington is 5-1. I'm going to take Oregon plus the 3.5. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm not telling you that Washington can't win the game outright. I'm going to take Herbert. I'm going to take that Oregon offense. They've been able to bounce back mentally. Cristobal's done a nice job. Bounce back following what should have been a victory. I mean, true. Oregon should have been undefeated. They blew the game at Stanford against home. Stanford at home. Yeah. Give me Oregon plus the 3.5 against Washington. I think Herbert outplays Jake Browning of Washington. I think it's going to be a packed house. It's going to be a great atmosphere.
Yep.
Give me the Ducks plus the points. That's pick one for me.
I like your pick. Just keep an eye on Washington. That kid Gaskins can run the ball like crazy.
Yeah, Miles Gaskins.
I do like your pick there. All right, so we're going to go Saturday again. We're going 7:30 p.m., a little evening. Stop laughing, Mike. A little evening city. You're sitting back. You're having a little, you know, maybe a couple of bottles of Colt 45, a great brand, a little beer, a couple of cigars. You're sitting on the porch watching a game. We're going to go Wisconsin. They are going into Wolverine World, into the big house, as they call it. Wisconsin goes to Michigan. This is a big, Big Ten matchup. A lot of good games, by the way, on Saturday. Can't wait. But Wisconsin's ranked 15th in the country. Michigan is ranked 12th. Wisconsin is I don't know who to pick in this game. I picked this game, but I'm going to take Wisconsin. Michigan don't cover. I'm taking the Badgers. Hornibrook, I think, will have a good game. It's tough to go, as you know, Moose, to go into the big house and be dominant. It's very tough. That's a tough place to play. There's about 6 billion people in that stadium in Ann Arbor. Maybe not 6 billion, but you get my point. There'll be a lot of points. Yes. A lot of people. I don't think Michigan covers. The line is 9.5, so Michigan is minus 9.5.
You're taking whiskey plus the 9.5.
Whiskey, look at you. Yes, I am.
Okay.
You like the pick?
I do.
I would take Wisconsin plus the points.
Yeah,
I'm going with that's what I'm going. So Wisconsin's 4-1, Michigan's 5-1.
Yeah, it's
so
too good of a team to think. I mean, it's almost 10 points.
Kid Taylor, Jonathan Taylor, run it back.
I think Wisconsin can hang with them. Right. I agree. I like your pick. I'm going to go to 3:30. I'm going to stick in the Big Ten just like Taz did. I'm going to go Penn State, Michigan State. Nittany Lions home, 8th-ranked team in the land, 13.5-point favorite over the Spartans of Michigan State. And I'm going to take Penn State to roll them. With Miles Sanders, we know how good the quarterback is, certainly for the Nittany Lions. And Michigan State, Taz, has been a disappointment.
I know.
They lose early to Arizona State. They work their way back into it. Then they get drubbed by Northwestern at home. I don't know exactly what this Michigan State team is this year. I believe in Penn State. I think it's a margin game. Give me the Nittany Lions laying the 13.5. That's pick two for me.
Yeah, quarterback's real good. McSorley. Yeah, he's real good.
Very good senior quarterback.
Go a little, after Doc Jones right here. We're going to go Saturday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, kids. We're going to go ranked number 19, the Buffaloes of Colorado. They go to play USC. USC sitting 3-2. Colorado sitting 5-0. Okay, Colorado. USC is minus 7. I'm going Buffs up. They're going to win the game by 10. Colorado wins by 10. They are legit as legit can be, in my opinion. They win the game.
That's a gutsy pick. So you're like Colorado the points, but they win the game outright.
Yeah,
in LA. That's pretty good. Good pick.
They are. Listen, they. That Colorado team, I've seen them play. You've seen them play.
Yep.
They're legitimate. We had a head coach on here from Colorado. Listen, there's something about what the way they run their offense, what they're doing.
Yeah,
with,
I like your pick.
With,
I like it.
Yeah, with Montez, you know, and what's his name? The other quarterback they're using, McIntyre. So they do a good job. And look, the kid Daniels, the quarterback from USC, is good and stuff. He's real good, but I don't know. I like Colorado.
I can understand that. So you like Colorado plus this 7, but to win the game outright against USC.
Yes,
all right. We're going to go 2:30, South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame Stadium. Give me the Irish. I think they're going to finish this year undefeated, and I think they're going to give me another statement game at home against Pittsburgh on Saturday afternoon. I think they win the game by...
They're going to cover, you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to cover. I know it's 21. The offense looks a lot better with Ian Book at quarterback.
Yeah.
Their defense, Taz, is legit.
I know.
Give me the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. It's a big number laying the 21. All right, so quickly, your three picks are?
Oh, wait, just had a
Colorado, Wisconsin. Who's your third one?
Georgia.
Georgia. There you go.
No, I didn't expect that one. Heard the music. You hit me.
I'm going Notre Dame, Penn State. Notre Dame.
Pepping me there.
Jesus. I'm sorry. Notre Dame, Penn State, Oregon. Those are my picks. College picks, Taz Booth, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.